Voices that inspire the extended interview.
My name is Alicia Gaines, and I'm Associate Professor of English at Florida State University.
So what's your focus? What is your area of research in your category, would you say, that you're teaching in?
Mm-hmm. I teach African-American literature, Black feminisms, Black Southern studies, African-American studies in general.
So how long have you been at FSU?
I have been at FSU, surprisingly to myself, since 2011.
How's it been? What's your experience been?
My experience has been a varied one since I've been here for so long. I didn't know the direction that higher education was going in the state, obviously, when I came here in 2011. But my students and FSU students are so amazing, so engaging, so smart and curious that they're everything. They're the why I'm here at FSU.
Yeah, so are you and or your students feeling this pressure that we're under right now on what stories can be told and how the stories can be told?
Absolutely. I don't know if you can be in my field and say you're not feeling the pressure when my fields are being directly attacked. I also teach gender and sexuality stuff at FSU as well. So it is more than concerning, sometimes frightening, the kind of pressures that we're under. But at the end of the day, my responsibility is to my students in that classroom and to engage them around the rich history of African America since before this country was a country.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I just don't know why we seem to be taking so many steps backwards when, yeah, it's so troubling. You know, and so for your students who come to you and take your classes, I mean, it must be such a powerful experience for them to immerse themselves in this history and language that maybe they have not had so much of before.
I hope so. I hope it's a powerful experience. I try to engage them in Black cultural expression in a variety of ways, from essays and fiction, film, television, music. I start every day in my introduction to African-American literature class with music, for example. So we're moving not only through the African-American literary canon, but through Black expressive culture writ large.
And how did you personally get started down this path?
Oh, good question. Good question. So the path of African-American literature, the path of teaching?
I guess probably one led to the other in a way.
Right. So my grandmother was a Cleveland public school teacher. She taught third grade, sometimes a combination second and third grade class, for decades. And she instilled in me a love of education, a love of reading, and I saw in her what you can do when you make teaching the art form of your life. She not only was a Cleveland public school teacher, but she taught the first integrated third grade class in Cleveland. She also was the labor chairperson when Cleveland public school teachers went on strike for nearly a year. And so I saw her wed what she does in the classroom with her politics and stand up for what she believed in and the students that she loved and who loved her. I went to predominantly white schools in Northeast Ohio, and they were not keen to teach African-American literature. And when I would ask about it, would give me a lot of sort of nonsense reasons, racist reasons, to be honest, about why it wasn't included in the curriculum. Black literature was too bawdy or sexual. It was inappropriate for the classroom. Well, that's not true. You're just mired in stereotypes about what you think Black people are like, or Black literature that you've never read is like. And so because I wasn't getting that formal instruction, I began reading the books that my grandmother was giving me, the books that my mother was giving me, and books I sought out for myself.
So you've then pretty much self-taught through your family because you had people to help you find the books to read.
I did.
And so that passion then probably led you to, how can more of this be available to people? How can we incorporate this into curriculum?
Sure. I mean, so the self-taught thing continued until I went to Spelman College, which is a historically Black college for women. And so for the first time in my life, I had Black women educators and people who were focused on making sure Black folk were at the center of the story and not the margins of the story. And it's those mentors and those professors who were reshaping how I understood myself, my place in the world, making a place for me in the world. And it's when I saw them just mastering their craft, mastering their fields, and then giving us all of this knowledge and learning with us that I realized, oh, I could be a Black professor too, giving the same kinds of experiences to my students.
Your students that you have at FSU, do they tend to be primarily Black students? Do you get a diverse group of students coming in?
I get a diverse group of students. Even though I'm teaching African-American literature courses primarily, because my classes fulfill a diversity requirement or maybe a state-mandated writing requirement, I don't just have English majors. I don't just have Black students. So I'm able to introduce to a variety of students African-American literature that we can then read and understand together.
That's just the best because, I mean, getting back to this idea of why literature is so powerful in helping us understand our world, our place in the world, having an opportunity for people to get out of their comfort zone and read about other types of people is just so important.
Absolutely. It's so important. And we think we're so different, right? And then we read each other's stories and realize, no, we have love and loss and pain and humor and joy, just like everyone else. I think you can really learn that when you are beginning to fall in love with a character.
Yeah. And that, you know, that character takes us forward and lets us be able to have that experience with them. So were you like the kid that read a lot when you were growing up?
Oh yeah. I was the kid. I was the kid who, you know, I grew up in the 1980s, so shocking, spankings were still a thing. But I was the kid that instead of being spanked for punishment, you took my books away, and I was devastated. I was just in the middle of Anne of Green Gables. What's going to happen to Anne? You took my book away? I was the kid who was trying to read during math class, hiding the novel behind the math textbook because, I mean, fiction for me at the time just opened up so many worlds.
Have you ever wanted to write yourself in fiction?
No, I feel like I'm more of a reader than a fiction writer, where fiction can I kind of shape how I understand the world. I've got to sort of mine it for the lessons that it's teaching me. I think that's my stronger skill. I'll let the Jessamyn Wards and the Toni Morrisons do their thing.
And Jessamyn Ward's coming to town.
She is, and I'm so excited.
I know. It's like I love her writing.
Yes.
Love her.
Yes.
Ravi Howard introduced me to some of her.
Yeah.
And I just like
Ravi's a wonderful colleague.
Yeah, he's terrific. So speaking of writers and like someone listening, who would you recommend for people to a Jessamyn Ward, other writers out there that are doing really interesting things?
Contemporary writers or just writers in general?
In general.
Yeah. I think for me, now that Toni Morrison is now Saint Morrison, I think Jessamyn Ward is honestly one of our most important living writers. Colson Whitehead is always doing interesting things. Tayari Jones is doing some beautiful things. Britt Bennett with that newest novel, The Vanishing Half. I could go, I think, on and on and on. But Black writing right now is really, really, really rich. I'm thinking about Kiese Layman's work. Wow, there's so many. Goodness.
So in a given, I know you mentioned that you had your class reading Roots. So what was that like for your students to hear this very detailed history?
It was a lot. So not only am I asking them to read a novel that's literally over 900 pages, but I'm asking them to read something that is deeply painful. And I read it for the first time with him. I had not read it. This is my graduate course. I would never do this with undergraduates, read something that I haven't read or teach something I haven't read before. But I asked them to do this kind of collaborative experiment with me. Let's take a deep dive for weeks. We took a long time with the novel. We also watched some of the, you know, miniseries because it was such a cultural touchstone. But I had students talk about how they had to take a break because, you know, they were beginning to cry, thinking about, and all the, with all the scandals aside about the novel, it is a sweeping history that really centers Black, African and Black American stories in ways that at the time unheard of. And it's still interesting that it's this sort of emotionally impactful today in 2024.
What do you think when your position as a professor, as someone who is working with young people as they're coming into their own, forming their own thoughts on things, what do you take away from them right now as we're in this sort of cultural conundrum of a world right now? What are you hearing from them as how they're processing this?
So I'm hearing a lot of things. Some of them are confused as to why what they want to learn is in this the bullseye of politics. Some are angry that what they want to learn as young adults is coming under fire. Some are demoralized. I get questions a lot about sort of what do we do, where do we go from here, particularly students who want to also go into the fields that I'm in, are also interested in pursuing larger research into African-American literature, African-American history, that they are frightened. And then, you know, like the occasional student who has literally no idea what's going on and doesn't understand sort of the cultural nerves that are happening in the classroom. But they are, by and large, resilient and committed to learning what they are told is not worth their time or is not intellectually sophisticated or a worthy line of inquiry. I had students last semester who said explicitly, I wouldn't have taken this class except for the stuff that you're teaching is in the news, and I want to know why. So as they continue to read the books that are being banned, and as they continue to seek out courses like mine, Black Studies will continue in this state.
I don't know how you can, you know, it's like this idea you can put the genie back in the bottle. Like, it's just on so many fronts, you know. I hope that gives me heart, you know, that this, the quest for knowledge and the quest for truth will outweigh people trying to prevent that from happening.
I think it always will. I think it always will. I must believe that to keep doing what I'm doing, right? I believe that the classroom is a place of radical possibility, and I'm borrowing that phrase from bell hooks. And I wouldn't have this long career in teaching if I didn't believe that deep in my soul. And when I forget it, I just say it as a mantra and then march right back into that classroom.
What are you hearing from colleagues around the country? Like, you know, even though we're in sort of ground zero here, it's still being impacted. I mean, this is happening elsewhere too. And so what's the collective sense out there in your world?
So that's a complicated question. I have colleagues who constantly send me things like the newest kind of Florida story around education. They'll send it to me, and then it'll all caps will say, you need to get out of Florida. I've had colleagues is a little too strong of a word, but associates at other universities sort of denigrate that we're still here in Florida. And I've had more than that, colleagues who are trying to get a sense of how they can stand in solidarity with Florida professors and educators, and what can they do, knowing that this is not just a Florida story. there is already a Florida creep to other states. And so solidarity will be the thing. Coalition building will be the thing to make sure our students are getting a full and rich education in queer theory and African American studies.
Oh, that's good. I hope so.
I hope so too.
Yeah. Well, what else would you want our audience to know about your work, your students, this topic that you think is important for them to be empowered with? Mm.
I think that the story of Black America is the story of America. And to understand that is to understand who and what we are as a country. I think that any effort to marginalize Black stories and queer stories will be thwarted by people who are committed to our fields and the communities that we're responsible to and for. And I want folks to know that this is not the first time that Black folk have been attacked, that our history has been attacked. We've been here before, but we are still here.
Like that. What are you reading right now?
Oh, I am rereading Robin D.G. Kelly's Freedom Dreams. It is the book I need right now, because when I can get kind of cynical, that book kind of makes sure that I remember all of the dreaming and imagination that have created this world and will continue to create better worlds.
That's great. Well, the series is called Voices That Inspire, so that book obviously probably helps to keep you inspired, but what do you draw on for your inspiration in the work you're doing, and who do you hope to inspire by what you're doing?
Mm. Well, my grandmother passed last semester, but she is always an inspiration. I think about what she would want me to do in these situations. I remember when she was beginning to understand what was going on in Florida, the first thing she said was, take to the streets, you know? And so I draw on her legacy in teaching. And I draw on inspiration from my students, absolutely, because they're still showing up. They're still doing the reading. They're still writing and thinking and trying to understand their place in the world. And if we can do that together, right, then what can stop us?
Absolutely. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we wrap it up?
Just thank you for having me.
I'd like want to get like a list from you of books to read, but it's just really fun to hear what you're doing. And I thank you for what you're doing and for staying in Florida. We need you. We need voices that you are inspiring to continue to help us find our way.
My name is Alicia Gaines, Associate Professor of English at Florida State University. And always follow the leads of students.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.